Thousands from more than 70 countries gathered in Austria this fall to watch the Dalai Lama of Tibet lead the largest of Buddhist rituals, the Kala Chakra, aimed at promoting peace and tolerance. It was only the third time the ritual had taken place in a European country, but the Dalai Lama's visit was overshadowed by allegations that, despite its pacifist image, the Kala Chakra text and ritual actually promote a religious war for world domination between Buddhists and non-Buddhists. Karen Engel reports from Graz.
The clicking of flashbulbs as the Dalai Lama arrives in Graz for his first meeting with the press. Throughout his visit in Graz, either with the media at a public lecture attended by 8,000 people or in his meetings with government leaders, the Dalai Lama's main message remained the same.
I believe all the major religious traditions have the same potential to give peace and happiness to all people. And I think the method to achieve happy life, happy humanity, also more or less same. That is the practice of compassion, forgiveness, tolerance, contentment. These are the main method to achieve happy day and happy life and happy human community.
And at an interreligious meeting between members of the Christian, Jewish, Hindu, and Islam communities, the Dalai Lama emphasized the common values shared by all.
Of course, in the philosophical field, there are differences, but the real sort of goal and main method is more or less same. So therefore, when we know each other closer, then we develop some kind of feeling of as a closeness, and through that we mutual respect among different traditions.
But some of the Dalai Lama's critics say the Kala Chakra Tantra does not promote religious harmony. In their book, The Shadow of the Dalai Lama, Victor and Victoria Trimondi say the Kala Chakra text opposes Judaism, Christianity, and Islam, uses aggressive, warlike, and sexually disturbing imagery, and envisions a global and apocalyptic war between Buddhists and non-Buddhists.
Each day is slightly different, but what they started doing was first to ask permission to use the ground on which the mandala will be erected, and then asking permission to bring in the disciples into this ground. And then there are a lot of ceremonies to consecrate the ground and to consecrate the powder with which they're making the mandala and to consecrate the various rituals.
Buddhist scholar Dr. Alexandra Berzin is describing what goes on during the different morning rituals of the 10-day Kala Chakra event. Central to the Kala Chakra, which means the wheel of time, is an elaborate mandala in colored sand, which depicts a temple of the Buddha and serves as a meditation aid.
Kala Chakra emerged in the area between Afghanistan and Kashmir at the end of the 10th century.
Berzin lived and studied close to 30 years in the exiled Tibetan capital of Dharamsala in India. Fluent in Tibetan, Sanskrit, and Chinese, and a renowned translator, teacher, and writer, Berzin is one of the foremost authorities on Buddhism in the Western world.
At this time, there was a tremendous fear in the Islamic world and the Christian world of a coming apocalypse and the end of the world. The Christians believed it would happen in the year 1000. The Muslims believed it would happen in the year 1100. The Buddhist system of Kala Chakra is intended to help people to overcome this fear. Buddhists at that time in this area were basically under the influence of an Islamic kingdom in Baghdad. There was a rival Islamic kingdom in Egypt. The one in Egypt was claiming that they had the Messiah. The ones, the Buddhists that were under in Baghdad, were very afraid of that. And so they were talking about this type of situation and saying that when you have fear of this, that then one should try to see that this is parallel to an invasion and apocalypse and so on of, you know, internally with one's own disturbing emotions and so on. And so one can follow a spiritual path which is going to help one to overcome this fear based on an external situation and the internal situation, which is parallel to that. And so it's by no means calling for a holy war or a crusade or anything like that. This is really quite a distortion of the whole system.
In a new book just published called Hitler, Buddha, Krishna, the Tremontes argue Tibetan Buddhism inspired and abetted Nazi ideologues. Dr. Alexander Berzin.
Hitler was interested in trying to find some sort of help from some mystical land to try to help him gain a victory. But because of that, I mean, to say that, Buddhism itself was a philosophy behind Hitler is absolutely absurd. And when they sent an expedition, the Nazis, to Tibet, of course, they received no cooperation.
Neutral in World War II, Tibet remained largely secluded from most of the world until Chinese troops marched into the country in 1950. In 1959, the Dalai Lama, who was considered both the political and spiritual leader of Tibet, fled to Dharamsala, India, after a failed uprising against China. According to the Tibetan government in exile, more than 1 million Tibetans lost their lives as a result of the Chinese occupation, and almost all of Tibet's monasteries, some 6,000, were destroyed. Hundreds of Buddhist monks and nuns continue to serve long prison sentences for their religious convictions, while lay Tibetans are discouraged from practicing their religious and cultural traditions. These conditions led the U.S. House of Representatives to pass a resolution in October calling for, quote, a negotiated solution for genuine autonomy that respects the rights of all Tibetans, unquote. Yet despite the extremely adverse conditions in Tibet, most Tibetans still support the Dalai Lama's policy of nonviolence. Navang Chappell works for the Tibetan government from Geneva, Switzerland.
Through this path, you can achieve a lasting peace. This is the only way. And of course, you know, Tibetans have remained nonviolent in their struggle and will continue to remain nonviolent in their struggle because they know that this path will, you know, give them lasting peace in their homeland.
Chappell was encouraged by a recent meeting of the Dalai Lama's emissary with Chinese leaders earlier this year in September as a first step towards dialogue. Meanwhile, in Graz, the Dalai Lama had one more thing to say before he left Austria.
But in Buddhism, we are self as our own master. So ultimately, all responsibility is our own shoulder. So therefore, try to be a warm-hearted person so that wherever we live, individual himself or herself, be more happier. And through that way, your friends, your companions also get more peace. So that's my wish. Thank you.
For Common Ground, this is Karen Engel in Graz, Austria.
And,